Thanks for listening to the Cool Church Podcast. This is Joanne Wilson, co-pastor at Cool Church. We're praying that wherever you are on this journey, that this message encourages you. And we want you to know that you were created out of love. And now, here's today's message. I want to get right into this word. We're going to be reading a lot of scripture today. And you know what? It's always a good day when we get to dig into the word of God. Amen? Today, as we celebrate this monumental, the best season, the best holiday of the year, I think it makes sense for us to really look at the story that started it all, the reason for the season, and that is the birth of Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Luke 2, and we're going to read all the way to 18. You ready? All right. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth into Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. When they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring to you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go into Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Wow. Why don't you join me in prayer as we dive into this word today? Father God, I thank you, God, for who you are, Lord. Lord, we honor you. We honor this season that we're in that celebrates your birth, God. Today, as we dive into that story, as we dive into the phenomenal situation, moments that all came together to create this time, to create this miracle, God, we pray that you speak to our hearts, Lord. And I pray that we come to some sort of revelation that shows us something new, something we've never known before that will transform our lives. Lord, I thank you, Lord. Be with us right here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I know you guys are taking notes in the new Cool Church app. You see what I did there, that little plug? Yes. So if you haven't downloaded the Cool Church app, we've put the scan code right here. But for those of you who've already downloaded it, I know you're taking notes. And so here's the title for today. It's called Small Package. You see, if you've been with us over the past couple of weeks, we've been in this season or this series called Bigger. And every week we've unpacked what that means and different perspectives about what God is telling us or giving us about bigger and the vision that he has for us moving forward. And last Sunday, Pastor Terrence gave us such a beautiful message where he told us about the lineage and the genealogy of Jesus. And it was so beautiful because it talked about Jesus's plan to make the family of God bigger through his blood, which was applied to all of us by his grace. In today's culture, we are so enamored by big, everything big. Big and flashy things are the thing, right? Big fancy houses, big cars, grand announcements and pronouncements, big gifts. I mean, I just celebrated my 40th birthday this past week, and the team presented me with the biggest balloon I've ever seen. And, you know, if I had any doubt of how old I was, I know those balloons let me know I was the big four. I was 40. So we are so enamored by big in our culture. And I'm sure that when we all started 2020, we all had big plans, didn't we? But as we're talking about bigger, I don't want us to forget that big things once started out small. They were once small, and we can't forget to celebrate the small things. I believe that 2020 has been a planting season. While it may not seem like the big grand picture that we had in our minds about what 2020 would be when we started this year, I believe that we've been making small steps and planting small seeds for what's to come. See, 2020 is the season or the year for small things to be discovered, cultivated, and appreciated. Because small steps forward lead to big things. We know it's Christmas time, the most wonderful time of the year, and I want us to look at the birth of Jesus a little closer. And you know, many people all over the spectrum, you know, they even unbelievers have heard of this story. But I believe that the real significance of the story can be lost because it's such a familiar story. I mean, everybody in some way, shape, or form has heard about the story of the birth of Jesus. And so I want to take some time to really look at this story and pull out some truth about what God wants us to understand in this story. See, the birth of Jesus Christ was the incarnation of God himself. In other words, it's God becoming man. The Bible said that he was of the Holy Spirit. That is, he was created in the Holy Spirit, and that through Mary, he put on flesh and blood. So in essence, he is both divine and human. He is both God and man, the perfect expression of both. The significance of that is so profound, and it should take us all of eternity really to appreciate it. The conception of the birth of Jesus was the mingling of God with humanity. That is such a profound thing to really wrap your head around. Jesus's birth was the infinite God becoming a finite man. And I mean, that's just mind-blowing to really even think about. And as I was wondering, as I was really trying to ponder and meditate on just that, I couldn't help but wonder, well, why did God do it this way? Maybe God wanted to have the full experience of being a human being. He wanted to put on human flesh because from that moment, he could feel what you and I go through as human beings every single day. Every feeling that we've ever felt, he has felt. Every challenge or thing that could ever be faced, he faced as well as a human being. And I also think that he chose to arrive as a baby because he wanted to show us that God could move throughout time, right? It demonstrates his infinite nature, the fact that time is something that he moves throughout, and it's relative only to him. And I believe that his ability to move through time, he literally steps out of time to be with us. Emmanuel, God with us. He could have arrived any way, you know, he wanted to, right? He could have arrived wielding some big flashy sword as this big king on a big horse, just a grand entrance, right? Or he could have been, you know, a huge giant stomping throughout the earth, making his presence known, right? Or I don't know, maybe he could have came in on some flying creature that we've never seen before or heard of before, but he chose to come as a little, tiny, fragile baby, something familiar, non-threatening, approachable. Why did God, the big and almighty God, why did he choose to come to us in such a small package? I believe that there are many things that he wanted us to understand about small things. And I believe the first thing is this: don't look past the small things. Don't look past the small things. See, the magnitude of small things can't be missed by the people of God. I have to believe that God wants us to notice and even celebrate how he uses small things and insignificant things to do incredible things in all of our lives. Let's look back at the text, Luke 2:6. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. I don't believe that Jesus ended up in a manger by accident. I believe that it is a major spiritual indicator. You see, the manger is a trough where animals get their food. They eat in there. They're feeding troughs. On this day, there was no rooms available for them to stay in, so they had to stay in a place where animals usually were kept, and some say it was like a cave. The interesting thing is that the animals go to the manger for physical food. I believe that God was telling us that with Jesus, we can go to the manger for spiritual food. Jesus has an infinite storehouse of nourishment available for us, and we can approach him at any time and never go hungry. What a powerful truth that is. You see, the Bible even says that spiritual food is the word. And John 1:1 tells us, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So with that in mind, we can visualize Jesus in the manger, our eternal spiritual food that never runs out, and it's for all of us. Isn't that such a powerful picture? And now something so insignificant, the manger has so much meaning. Right off the bat, God uses something so small, insignificant, and humble to demonstrate that there is something for all of us. We can't look past the small things, because oftentimes it's the small things that have the biggest significance. Amen? See, I believe that this detail also gives us a picture of God's character. If anyone could boast of his grandeur and his greatness, it would be God, wouldn't it? Yet he chooses the most humble entrance for the biggest occurrence in the history of all of mankind. The birth of Jesus was the beginning of our redemption. We were destined for death. Because of our sins, because the wages of sin is death, we were destined for death. But the birth of Jesus was a way for us to be redeemed by his blood, to give us an option, to give us another way. This is why we call him our Lord and our Savior, because he literally saves us from death. He was born to die so we can be born again. That's a powerful truth. See, we can't look past the small things. Let me ask you something. What small things have you looked past that could potentially be the beginning of the greatest thing to happen in your life? Could it be the small business that you started because you got laid off this year, that's the beginning of a multi-million dollar company that will be the source for countless families to thrive and be supported? Could it be that the small, kind gesture of opening the door for someone at a store will become a prophetic open door for you to experience God's favor in some unexpected way? Could it be that all the time that you've been spending serving God's house with humility are small seeds being planted for God's biggest blessings that you'll experience in your life? I'm seeing so many of God's faithful servants experiencing such great favor in this season that's an economic disaster for others. We can't be so big on ourselves that we miss the seemingly small things and the small opportunities to be the hands and feet of Jesus. See, God works through the small things. It's the things that no one is paying attention to, no one cares to celebrate. Those are the things that he uses. See, this pandemic has given us so much time, the time needed for us to notice the small things, because sometimes you gotta slow down to see the small things. But it's not enough just to see them. You also gotta appreciate them and actually leverage those small things. You see, you got to pay attention to those small things. Zechariah 4:10 says it best, and I love this so much. It says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand." See, I don't want to graze over the small or seemingly insignificant thing in that verse. Let's talk about the plumb line. I know I didn't know what the plumb line, so I had to really, you know, look it up and ask God to give me revelation here. See, the plumb line is a cord with a little weight. It's a metal weight attached to one end. When the cord is held in such a way that the weight can dangle freely, the exact vertical can be determined. In other words, it's a tool. It's a tool that painters and carpenters use to keep their work straight. See, the plumb line does not change or move when the carpenter or the painter moves. So as they're trying to find that vertical point, you know, whatever's happening to the carpenter or the painter does not affect that weight. What happens is that plumb line remains true and it lines up. See, everything has to line up to that plumb line or that marker from the plumb line, or they risk their work being crooked. My God, the smallest things, it's the small things that you do that can make your whole life stable. My God, a sure foundation that keeps things from being shaken. See, you got to make those small moves, those small decisions in foundational times, in the beginning of things, so that whatever you build on those things will not be shaken. We got to pick up the small things that we have in our hands in order for us to do big things. I believe that God provides us with all types of tools and opportunities for us to live in our purpose and to thrive in our lives. But sometimes we miss it because it's the small things just seem so insignificant and unimportant, right? The beginning or the starting point of whatever it is that you're doing doesn't seem like it's much to celebrate. But let me encourage you today, where you are today is not where you're going to be tomorrow if you just trust God and put one foot in front of the other. Don't despise where you are. Use the small things that you have now to build up to the bigger things that you want later. Amen? You see, we tend to look at the lives of the other people and everything that they've got going on seems so flashy and big and shiny from the outside looking in, doesn't it? But you don't know the small beginnings that those people came from. You don't know the sacrifices and the struggles that they had to go through to get where they are. All you see is the grand finale, right? Nobody takes pictures or posts on the gram the small beginnings. And so we have to be careful not to look at other people's grand finales and think that they don't measure up or we don't measure up to those things. You see, celebrate other people's wins and love your small beginnings, because when it's your turn to celebrate the big, you'll have somebody to celebrate with you. Amen. See, don't look past the small thing. The next thing I think God wants us to see about the small things is that there is power in small things. Amen. Luke 2:10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring to you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." God is all about the small details. It's in the little details that we can see his glory. It's the small details that make all the difference and make things so much more special. I love that in this passage, or in this part of the story, the angel reveals that this small package, this baby, will be the answer for all of mankind in a baby. And not just any baby, a baby found in such a lowly place. But isn't that so in God's character? 1 Corinthians 1:27 says it like this through 29. It says, "But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him." Hallelujah. I can think of so many times in the Bible that God uses something small and insignificant to demonstrate his great power. The mustard seed, smaller than all the other seeds, but when it's full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree so that birds of the air can come and nest in its branches. David, he uses 5 smooth, small stones to take down the giant Philistine Goliath. A widow who has nothing but a little flour and a little oil to feed herself and her son trusts the word of the Lord enough to use all she has to prepare a meal for the prophet Elijah. And because of her obedience and faith, God keeps that jar, that same jar of flour, full, and the oil never runs dry. Hallelujah. A jawbone, a small little insignificant jawbone. Samson finds that jawbone of a donkey and struck down 1,000 men. With a donkey's jawbone, he makes donkeys of Philistines. With 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, Jesus feeds thousands of people. And there is so much food left over that they can fill 12 baskets. See, what am I saying? What is God trying to tell us today? Maybe you think that what you have in your hand is too small or not enough. Or maybe you think that you are too small and not enough to do what God has called you to do. But the word of the Lord for you today is that you are not too small for God's big power to work in you. As a matter of fact, if you think you're small, you're exactly the one that God wants to use. You're the perfect candidate for God to use you, because he loves to use humble and small things, the things that nobody pays attention to. God wants to use you, yes, you, for his glory. All you need to do is be available. You want to see God's big power at work in your life? Be available, because he wants to use you. God wants us to see the power in small things. See, I'll never forget watching my mom get this enormous box from my dad on one of their anniversaries a long time ago. And I mean, this box was pretty much as big as she was. And as she opened the box, she noticed, and this is, me and my brother were standing right there as if it was our gift too. And as she was opening the box, she noticed that there was another box in there. And so she takes that box out and opens that box, and she opens it, and there's another box inside. And And then another one, and this kept going for like a couple seconds, and we were just like, what is going on? And my brother and I started to get disappointed because the boxes were getting smaller and smaller, and we were just in, we were just expecting to see this big grand thing in this big grand box, right? And so as she's opening the boxes and they're getting smaller, I felt, you know, our excitement was dying. We were like, wait, what's going on? Until finally there was a box that was small enough to fit in the palm of her hand. And as she opened the final box, this enormous diamond ring was inside. And my brother and I were screaming and shouting and celebrating, and my mom's face lit up. I mean, you would have thought that the gift was for us, but maybe we were so excited because, you know, what initially was disappointing for us because we thought the big thing was gonna be, you know, so grand, and we were so excited to see what that big thing could be in that box, you know, and as we didn't realize that this small thing would be such a great payoff. You see, sometimes you cannot underestimate the power of small things, because big things can be found in small packages. We gotta celebrate the small things in our life, the humble beginnings, the unseen seasons, because sometimes it's the smallest things, or I don't know, the smallest decisions in our life that even lead to the biggest changes in our lives. We gotta celebrate and realize that we cannot pass by and look past the small things, and we have to always recognize the power that is available in the small things. I want you to bow your heads with me right now. I'm going to invite you to make a decision today that will lead to the biggest opportunity in your life. We've been talking about the Most High God who came into the world in the smallest package. Jesus Christ, God, made the ultimate sacrifice for you and me. He came into this world. He lived life as a human being. He felt our pain. He became sin and offered himself as a sacrifice and died for our sins. And he had to do that because the wages of sin is death. But the best part is that he did not stay dead. He rose again after defeating hell and the grave, and he sits in heaven at the right hand of the Father. He could have just wielded his sword and forced us to love him, but he chose to approach us with ultimate love, tenderness, and humility. And he did all this because he wants to have a relationship with you. So here's your part in all of this. If you want to have a relationship with him, all you have to do is confess and believe in your heart. Confess is words. We have to say and accept him, and we have to ask him for forgiveness, and we have to believe that as we confess, that we will be saved and we will be in perfect standing for us to have a relationship with him. But if it's not in your heart, if you don't believe it in your heart, then that's not available. So I want you to get your mind and your heart ready and pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I've sinned. I'm not proud of it, God. I want to give it all up to you. I don't want it anymore. I reach to heaven to accept your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for giving me another chance, Lord. Thank you for the relationship that you want to have with me, God. God, be with me. God, never leave me, and I'm going to follow you. If that was a real prayer for you today, if you said that with all of your heart, guess what? Today is a new day that you get to walk with the Lord and Savior who loves you and is so big that he loves you. Even though he's so big, he loves you And he is going to start this beautiful relationship with you that will last the rest of your life starting today. Here at Cool Church, we celebrate salvation because we know this is the beginning of your best life forward. So if you prayed that prayer and made that decision, it's all for you. We are celebrating you and welcoming you to the family of God. So on three, we're gonna go ham and celebrate you. One, two, three. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for making that decision. Man, I am so, so proud of you. And again, welcome to the beautiful family of God. Well, fam, I hope that that message resonated with you. Don't overlook the small stuff. Don't despise the small stuff because God uses small things to do magnificent, great, amazing things throughout your life and the life of others. So I hope that you look at the small things in a different way moving forward. Well, thank you once again for being with us today. And I hope that you guys have the most wonderful, wonderful Christmas.
Thank you so much for listening. To hear more messages like this one, please be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel. And if you like what you've heard, please consider sharing it with your friends because it helps so much. Don't forget to connect with us at our website, thecoolchurch.com. And always remember that you were created out of love.